We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I think it's a running touchdown. So I think what you get is the quarterback gets the pass completed for the yards up until the player laterals it. The player who catches the pass gets the catch and the yards up until they lateral it. And once they lateral it, I believe the player who then would score...
It's a rushing touchdown from that point.
A rushing touchdown for the amount of yards between where they got the lateral and scored.
I think you're right.
I think you're correct.
All right.
That's enough for me.
You've analyzed this brilliantly.
Let's find out, and we'll come back as soon as we hear from Michael Wilbon. Why are we hearing from Michael Wilbon? Well, it was because just yesterday on PTI, Michael Wilbon said this.
Joe Montana was involved in something not identical, but similar in some ways. I was talking to our dear friend Ray Ratto about this on the way in here, Tony. And Ratto covered the entire Montana, Bill Walsh, Steve Young.
So I said, man, there's a vein we need to tap, and we did just that. Michael Wilbon joined us. This is fantastic. Stick around here for your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Michael Wilbon from ESPN, who again gave Ray Ratto the shout out the other day on PTI, good enough to join us here. He did in person. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, when we were leaving Oracle Arena, it felt like one of our last shows there. It's wonderful to have Michael Wilbon on this show. Michael, thank you very, very much for joining us. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. If I thought that, you know, Ratto was going to get so much love for me shouting him out, I wouldn't have done it, of course.
Of course not.
Well, you shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, he's humiliated. He really is.
People need to know, we tease each other like this on the air. I'm going to say over the past, it's 30 years. It's probably more than that. But when I'm lucky enough to be in Northern California or Ratto less frequently in the Mid-Atlantic, we have some long and important conversations about all kinds of stuff. Some of it, about 20% of it, including sports. But I treasure being able to just pick up the phone and talk to anybody, a number of things. So that's the nicest thing I'll say from now for the next 10 years is back to ripping each other now.
I'm genuinely appalled by everything you said.
would be.
Is there anything left to the Brady story until he actually appears in a uniform, either practicing or playing? Have we mined every possibility? What's left?
We had a week ago. I mean, 48 hours after he announced that he wasn't going to go to the Patriots, and then 24 hours later, I think it was, everybody knew it was, broken, if not admitted to. It was mine then, because now all it is breaking down, like, week 8, and it's like, enough. I mean, I would literally tell you, I understand we've got a paucity of stories. In our industry, and I understand doing them over and over. But when I see, even on my network, another, Brady, Chiron, I go back to Law and Order reruns or Will and Grace or something. I just, no more Brady. There's no more. It's been mined as deeply as it can. I understand the need to go back to it, but I'm not going back to it.
We know that Roger Goodell sort of put a gag order on his league's employees about the draft, but, and this is not completely unrelated, Kirk Herbstreit at your place basically came out today and said he'd be shocked if there was football played either on the professional or collegiate level in 2020.
Really?
Is ESPN horrified by his assessment of that, or is there already a contingency or contingencies being put into place with that in mind?
I'm just now hearing that, and I don't know where that comes from.
Well, I tell you what, we have the sound, and if you don't mind...
No, I believe you. I believe you. Well, I'm not doubting it.
No, well, here is what Kirk Herbstreit said today, okay, and would like you to react to that. I feel like Kornheiser setting you up with the soundbite. Here we go.
In my opinion, until we have a vaccine where we can really just, okay, now we've got some control over this, even if this curve is flattened out, this virus is still out there. I'll be shocked, honestly. I haven't talked with anybody. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'll be so surprised if that happens. Just because from everything I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months away from a vaccine. Until you have a vaccine, I don't know how you can let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it.
Herbstreit on ESPN Radio.
Look, we're all engaging in speculation. And when we start talking about when we think sports will come back, how long a season will be, how many games will Major League Baseball play. I mean, we're all engaging in speculation. So I'm not going to be critical of Herbie for doing that. I get it. We're all doing it to some degree. I have the chance to question medical experts, people that I just know in my own personal life all the time. And I have just not gone out that far. I haven't gone to Labor Day. And I'm talking to people that are sports, are season ticket holders. Some of the people in the medical field I'm talking about are season ticket holders in multiple sports. And they have not taken us to the fall yet. I just haven't asked that. There's just, because this is so fluid and it's changing so quickly on a daily basis, I just haven't felt the need to say what's going to happen in October. We don't know what the hell is going to happen in May. And while I am not one of those wildly optimistic people that says, you know, I keep hearing so-and-so, this sport wants to come back in mid-May. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we want to do a lot of things. I want to hit the billion-dollar Super Bowl, Super Lottery. But I don't feel the need to try and put a crystal ball in front of me with the people that I'm talking to and pin them down to a date. So I just don't know. That's just too far out for me. I don't know what that means. And if Kirk has talked to people, he has access to all kinds of medical experts himself who may be looking that far ahead, then okay, we'll get to that too. But I just, that doesn't resonate with me yet.
You talk to a lot of people in the NBA, though, probably more than really any other sport. And even if you don't want to project out to September or October, have you heard anything about a potential sort of drop-dead date at which a decision's got to be made, yay or nay, about this season?
No. And you're right. I do. I mean, I talk to NBA people all the time, and no, I have not heard that. And I don't know that they've gone to that. I mean, I'm sure, look, there's somebody in every workplace in America who, you know, we sit around in our offices before we could sit around in our offices, and they say, you know, they come up with stuff like, suppose, and they follow with a sentence, and you just go, you just roll your eyes. If you're me, you roll your eyes. I'm sure the NBA's got that, too. They got people wondering that. But I've not heard that from the people I've talked to, and that's a variety of people at high levels in the league, within the league structure and within team structures, and I've just not heard, because they're hopeful. I mean, like, I think Mark Cuban often represents, you know, the voice that is most reasoned on this particular thing, where he says, look, it may be later than this. I'm hopeful. I'm being optimistic. I hope we can get back by. But that's, you know, I'm not going on any information. And he talks very reasonably to me about what his hopes are, what could be reasonable based on conversations with, God knows, Mark's talking to experts in the medical field all the time. But then he concludes, I don't know this. There's nothing we can pin this on. And I think that's the only responsible position to take. Now, we can talk about our hopes. But in terms of a drop dead date, I have not heard that. I know that a lot of people within that industry right now are hoping that, and with discussions with people in the medical fields, that are hoping, hey, we could really get the playoffs going if we could start in sometime July or even in August. But a drop dead date, I no one shared that with me yet.
One thing we do at least think we know is happening and at a certain time is the NFL draft. When I hear Roger Goodell issues gag order as a news report, my knee jerk is to call Roger Goodell all sorts of names. But the more I think about this, is it possible that really what he's saying here is more just, I don't need to hear your complaints about the difficulty of preparing to do the draft when everyone has plenty of difficulties?
Then he should have said that.
Yeah.
Then say that. I mean, Roger Goodell is too smart a man to come out and sound like the heavy, you know, just be heavy-handed and tone-deaf, which once again he is, you know, as if people aren't going to talk anonymously to people in media. Of course they are. So while he might not hear on the podcast or he might not hear with a name attached, he's going to hear it. And for people who disagree, he won. He got his way, but yet he had to come out and wear his ring on everybody's nose. It's just, you know, he just seems to be yet another person who has no shame. There was no point to that. What's the point? If you want to say, I really don't want to hear any whining from GMs about what they can't do, then say that instead of issuing this fraudulent gag order.
Michael Wilbon from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time. I got to tell you, the reason why I think PTI is one of the most important shows sports has ever had is because you and Tony do an incredible job. It's like a time capsule of that day in sports. When we look back at COVID-19, I don't think we'd be doing sports a disservice by putting them almost at the front of the time capsule, because I think sports has been an epicenter of awareness from the Gobert scare to the NBA going dark, which I think is where this really started hitting so many people's radars, all the way to Steph Curry interviewing Dr. Fauci. I know that you're a guy who loves sports. Are you as proud of sports as I think I am at this time, that it's been a vehicle which the important messages of COVID-19 awareness have traveled on for so many people?
Yeah. I mean, you just outlined it very well. I guess I'm probably a little more cynical just because that's my training, and not that I've had to be for the last 4 years, but I think there are individuals that I look at and say, wow, that person is really leading at a time where that's needed, whether it's in discussion or a particular industry. I mean, what Steph Curry did was tremendous. It's no secret I'm not a cynic when it comes to Steph. He's just one of my favorite people in or out of sports. And what he did is phenomenal. I was not aware of it in real time. I was just reading about it late last night. And, yeah, I mean, look, sports leads the discussion in almost any way imaginable. No matter what we're talking about, whether we're talking about any of the global issues, the economy, race and culture, gender. I mean, the sports discussion is often the most important discussion, and I don't think I'm overrating that. So it's necessary, and that's another reason why, you know, Tony and I felt we needed to be, you know, on the air in whatever format the network wants us on. I think that those us leading those conversations, that's what we do. That's what we want to do. That's the tiny, 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 tiny contribution that we can make. But the conversation is important.
In terms of how much of this you can talk about, did you get any kind of directives from the network? Did they just say, go ahead, do what you want the way you want to do it? Or were the shows more tightly formatted? And I don't mean just yours, but sort of that wall of sound that ESPN has from 4 a.m. on, that there's, you know, don't pound the disease so much, dovetail it back to sports whenever possible. Did you get directives like that?
No, that's a great question, Ray. I have not had a single conversation with an executive or a producer of our show or any such thing, any such animal, for seconds, not even for that long. haven't even received a phone call or a text or an email. No communication whatsoever.
You still work for them?
Might be in or out of bounds. None whatsoever.
I just thought maybe they might have fired you and you didn't know.
I guess so. Let's turn the TV on and see if I'm on now.
I'm going to make some snacks and go see.
That's right. If I'm not on, there's going to be news in this house.
Confirm, Michael. Everyone told us you dropped Ray's name.
Tony and I don't sort of have that. Ray, you know us. And the conversation is as natural and unscripted as you and me I was going to call the name of my favorite one-time breakfast spot in Oakland. Where'd you take me?
Oh, it's the Pie Queen.
Lois the Pie Queen. The conversation is as unscripted as it would as us there. I think that people might think that there are those conversations. There just aren't. I mean, we don't even, like, for instance, in this, so we have, as you have an IFB on, and it's in your ear, and producers can talk to you. Well, guess what? This week, they can't even talk to us because they're not in the studio. So this week, there's less guidance than even usual. You know, and that kind of guidance is you mispronounce somebody's name. You got to go, to get it right the next time. I'll correct Tony. And it's that kind of stuff. But in terms of big editorial content directives, none, and fewer this week than any other week.
So less than none.
Less than none, yeah.
I may not know much, but I know Ray Ratto's favorite breakfast spots around Oakland, so I feel very proud of myself for that.
I had a senior moment with Lois the Pie Queen. That is one of, that may be Ratto's shining moment or moments as he took me multiple times. And I tell you what, one of them had to be about, this would be the anniversary, because we went in right during regional finals. And so it had to be right about now, would have been, who knows, a 15th anniversary or a 20th or something, or multiple trips to Lois the Pie Queen. I don't know that Rattle can do better than that.
Oh, man, I'll tell you this. There's not a better place for an uncensored conversation.
That's right.
One of the things we were talking about a lot yesterday, Michael, is just sort of, was there a moment where the absence of sports suddenly struck you particularly hard? And I'm wondering if you had sort of a moment over the last couple of weeks where all of a sudden it hit you harder than it had.
That's a good question. You know, these are very personal things. I think the answers of people are honest about it, very personal. For me, it had to do with my alma mater, Northwestern's women's basketball team, having had the best season in the history of the school sport. And they were 27-4 with wins over Maryland, which could have been a one seed, probably a two. And they don't get to play. Best record in school history. And everybody's got this. I mean, I think Scott Van Pelt, one of the great things that is on right now is Van Pelt with his senior night, where he's trying to highlight all these people who don't have their moment, don't have the moment that we are accustomed to them having earned. And I'm talking about on the court of play, on the field of play. And so for me, that was it, that we were going to be a three seed, probably the Northwestern women's basketball team, and get two home games. And, if you can win those two home games, you're in the Sweet 16. And that's not something that we take for granted. We're not Stanford when it comes to women's basketball. But we got this great team, and luckily, I think all but two seniors come back. And I don't know, who knows, they may be able to come back now. We're not quite sure of that. But that hit me, because I'm close to that team. I know the women on the team. One of them is like family. Who could have been a Big Ten player of the year, a young woman named Lindsay Pulliam. And I go to their games when I can sneak to a game in Chicago. And I just ached for them for days. And I'm just, now you realize, of course, everyone has something similar, if not identical or worse. And you live with it and you think, wow, this is just an unfortunate time for that group of people. And I was very lucky that it wasn't even more personal. My son was playing on a one-loss team, and he's a starting point guard on his sixth grade team. And so each household has stuff like that. And they got to have their whole postseason, like, in a day before everything went on shutdown. But I think we all have those stories and those feelings about something in our lives or close to our lives.
Michael Wilbon here on 95.7 The Game. For me, Michael, I got to tell you, as much as it is, you know, it can be a looking out your own backyard and at what you care about story, and that's what affected you. To me, the cancellation, excuse me, postponement of the Summer Olympics, like that was when it was like, wow, that's still, you know, that's still a ways away. And I can't think of a more logistically challenging event to coordinate, put on, postpone than that. With the amount of billions of dollars in eyeballs that generates, I thought they're going to do everything to get that underway. And then when the Olympics said, we got to punt, I mean, I thought that was a moment.
Well, to me, postponement isn't as big a deal to me because it means it can still happen. I mean, you know, everything, all the things that have been postponed can still happen. March Madness wasn't postponed, it was canceled. And so cancellation is much more dramatic than postponement. I've covered 10 Olympics, 7 summer and 3 winter. I love the Olympics. But the fact that we're going to have the Olympics next summer, just sort of, at least we think so, from where we sit now, it just sort of prevents me from sort of despairing over that. We're going to have it. I was just in Japan last summer. And so I got to see up close and personal how prepared, you know, and 12 months out, which is when I was there last July, we thought 12 months out, that gave us a chance to see just, you know, the venues and the preparation and all that was going on. But if it can be next July, fine. What have we lost? I don't think we will have lost anything if we see NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, despite what Kirk Herbstreit was saying, if we see a football season, a college football season, particularly if you see them in full and relatively speaking on schedule. And you know what? I mean, it's interesting thinking about that clip you guys played for me. Maybe he's just ahead of this. Maybe Kirk is just way ahead of everybody else in terms of his reporting and his ability to tap into people who are thinking ahead. So there's a lot of that. There's going to be more postponements. Every sport. I'm a golf fanatic. The major championships are postponed. We don't know if canceled. I hope not canceled. So, yeah, there's each one of these things impacts us in a different way. But March Madness more for me because it meant no chance. But these teams and these people are not going to have this chance again. And that's just, man, that's jarring.
I want to play best case scenario for you, which will turn into a worst case scenario because I never let anything go. Let's say everything gets going again September 1st. How do you cope with what will be an unbearable glut of events between the two footballs, probably all three golf majors, probably both, you know, Wimbledon and probably the U.S. Open, tennis, baseball. I mean, how much will you drink?
Well, I would love it. It'd be a festival of all the great sporting events and crammed into one space. And do I want that? No. But if that's the reality, then I'm going to watch it all. I'm going to consume it all. At that point, I don't know what NHL and NBA would do. Maybe they would say, let's have 3 out of 5, 2 rounds, and play one championship round of 4 out of 7, and then we don't start until December or January 1st, and there's been that suggestion from a couple of its own owners anyway. But if there's that glut, Ray, I'm going to, like, turn away and not consume it? Oh, no. No, I'm going to consume every bit of it. Emotionally, I don't know how I would feel about it. I suppose I'd feel happy just to have it all back. To have it all back means the world is in a better place. How much better, we don't know exactly. But in a good enough place to get back to those things that we associate with our normal lives.
Michael, thank you so much for stopping on by and talking about sports, the world, a whole bunch of stuff, why you hang out with Ray Ratto in your free time. We still don't quite understand it, but we really thank you for coming on today and appreciate you very much. Keep the whole family safe and sound. Thank you for joining us today.
Listen, thanks for having me. We'll miss seeing you guys this spring in Northern California, which is God knows where I've spent the last 5 years happily bouncing in and out of SFO and Oakland airports and having a great time out there. But hopefully it's just, again, postponed and not canceled.
If the NBA resumes, you can get on that Sacramento Kings ground floor.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, ground floor indeed. I appreciate you guys having me, and be safe.
Michael Wilbon, great conversation. Again, Ray, thank you very much for setting that up, for helping it out anyways. Without you, the alluring magnet that you are, I don't think we have Michael Wilbon sticking to our refrigerator today. So nice job, Ray. Good job.
I didn't do it. It was Nash and Lucas, as always. They made the call.
Come on.
I wouldn't have talked to the guy.
I mean, if they can get Bob Knight, they can get Mike Wilbon. They've really upped the game this week, there's no doubt. And we name of the breakfast place once again?
Lois the Pie Queen.
Lois the Pie Queen. I mean, that just sounds so good right now. Lois the Pie Queen. Is this like where nations got their idea? Because I've never seen like a place that sells hamburgers and pies. Like, I got to tell you, in my entire life of what do they sell there? I never saw a city that married itself to the word of and pies as much as like Oakland has. It's amazing how many pies are on sale over there.
Pie is
yeah,
good.
Also totally unrelated other than you just mentioned pies. Let me just strongly recommend to the people of Oakland Gregory's Gourmet Desserts, I believe it's called, which is like, I mean, if you think Lois the Pie Queen is sort of an old school joint, Gregory's is like you walk down some stairs, you're in a tiny room with just like pies everywhere, and it's open like 12 hours a week, but it's some of the most incredible desserts you'll ever have.
Well, let me tell you, Lois, Gregory, I don't care what your name is, when we get to go back out into the world, man, I can't wait to hit some of my favorite restaurants. I can't wait to tip generously. I can't wait to help kickstart the economy once again. And it's going to be the job and duty of everybody to go on out and do that. It's what this country is going to need, but it doesn't need it now. Staying inside all weekend seems to be the name of the game. The week after that, the week after that, the week after that, the week after that could all be in play. That brings us to April, and Roger Goodell says, hey, you know what? Stop complaining about the circumstances you're in. Get to work. I don't think he's wrong. Michael Wilbon is right. He could have delivered the message a little bit differently, but delivering messages carefully has never been Roger Goodell's strong suit.
No,
picking
it hasn't.
Picking it up at this point in his career probably is wishful thinking. We will come back, talk about that directive, how it looks and all that stuff. We're also going to take you to 90 seconds of delightful live play-by-play from yet another A-plus British commentator, doing the play-by-play of dogs eating dog food. It's great stuff. And we will also take you to America's Voice of Reason. Vin Scully has spoken, and we will play that for you before the end of today's show here on 95.7 The Game. And we're brought to you by O'Donnell Financial, because planning is a process. For loans, investments, insurance, or retirement, call Greg Doyle, 866-496-2300. Greg Doyle, 866-496-2300. Check him out at O'Donnell Financial Group.com. Did I say O'Doyle? O'Doyle? I don't know why. It's Greg O'Donnell. I love you, Greg O'Donnell. Don't let anyone tell you that I'm with the O'Doyles. I'm not. I'm with Greg O'Donnell at 866-496-2300. Greg O'Donnell, my guy, 866-496-2300. We want to get his website right again. O'Donnell Financial Group.com. Write it down. Never forget it. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Our final segment of the day, we promise to make it a good one for you, as good as we can anyways. We will have a couple professional broadcasters join us via technology to really spice up this segment before it's all said and done. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, it's good to have you here. Butcher Shop, by the way, with Butcher and Covey coming up at the top of the hour. Wanted to get into Roger Goodell's warning against public comment. He said to everyone in the NFL, his general managers, in a memo, quote, "Public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose, and it's grounds for disciplinary action." In other words, stop complaining about the parameters. And, you know, I don't blame Roger Goodell for getting that message out. Could he have done it more delicately? If I were Roger Goodell, I would have used all the free time that I have in my day to make 32 phone calls to GMs or team presidents or wherever this message needed to land and just say, look, get your people to not complain, because what we're going through pales in comparison to the struggles that other people are going through. And it's such a bad look to be complaining that, well, we don't have enough time to interview this cornerback from Texas A&M, while people are really having trouble finding, you know, enough money for food, much less next year's season tickets. So let's just relax on that. And I got to tell you, it's easy to blame Roger Goodell on a lot of things. And I know that Wilbon held his feet to his fire, said, you know, maybe it's the right message, but it's the wrong expression. I don't care. I really don't care about the expression anymore. I think his message is right, and I totally understand, I think, why he's doing it. And I dare say he's doing it because the ramifications are we look better. And how often does Roger Goodell do anything thinking, hey, at the end of this, we're going to look better than before, right? That's a step forward right there, is it not?
It's a measure of how dim he is that he really thinks, A, that general managers complaining about the draft is either going to change the date or the number of people who watch it in whatever form they broadcast it. It was him essentially, A, worrying about an optic that didn't matter, and B, doing it like a mall cop. You know, look, even if Mickey Loomis complains every day from today until the day of the draft, it changes nothing. It alters nothing. It's Roger Goodell basically flexing muscles he doesn't have.
No, but I think that was the about point. Goodell's point. He's like, there's no amount of bitching that's going to change the fact we're doing this, because we could do it via email, text. We could do it versus, you know, use carrier pigeons to draft if we had to. And we're doing it. So shut up and don't complain about it, because we're doing it. Everybody on board? Like, he's allowed to do that, right?
No, I don't think he is. I think this is one of those moments where he could have been the guy who made the 32 calls and say, will you guys cut us a break on this? Or he could have let it go, but threatening discipline, whatever the hell that means, what, you lose a draft choice because you didn't like the setup? I mean,
yeah, that's the problem this empty threat of discipline is ridiculous. And, you know, to your point, Damon, and to what Ray just said, they very easily could have made those calls, and then there's no paper trail. And this just reeks of typical Roger Goodell idiocy to leave a paper trail of him threatening, not warning, but threatening general managers, as opposed to just out of the light of day trying to work towards the end that he's actually seeking.
And he's just, the thing that bothers me in this is that he's not learning from his past. Like, did he not think that this memo was, it probably got to Adam Schefter faster than it got to 10 of the GMs that it was intended for. You know what I mean? So for him to be so obtuse and think, well, there's no element of this that could make us look bad or bite me in the rear end. Like, how do you not watch your own back when you know that the world's just looking to jump on it the very second it can?
And like Wilbon said, they're still going to complain. They're just going to do it anonymously.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. Anyway, I got to tell you, of all the problems the NFL's ever had, this is certainly the best.
Well, really. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm with you. Like, in terms of size of NFL missteps, this is a pretty small one, and I don't think the sentiment is totally misplaced. It's just bungled so badly in typical Roger Goodell fashion that it's hard to find ways to feel good about what he's doing.
It's part of a bigger piece. That's the problem. As soon as you say, if you don't put a happy face on this, which is optics, I'm going to discipline you. Well, first of all, his record on discipline is shoddy. Secondly, he doesn't establish what that is. And third, and most importantly, this could have been covered in the owner's conference call, where he just says, listen, can you tell your guys please to put a belt on it? Okay, I don't need to threaten anybody. Just, you know, we're going to do this. You know, just tell them not to make us look bad. If it comes from your direct boss, which is your owner, who is also Roger Goodell's direct boss, I think you're going to get what you're after. This way, he looks like the ham-handed thug he's always believed he was and never has been. It's just, that's the bad look here. It's not Mickey Loomis complaining that he doesn't get to have an hour-long sit-down staring into Tua's eyes. It's that Roger Goodell thinks this is something that must be stamped out, as though complaining is something that doesn't happen in the National Football League on a nanosecond-by-nanosecond basis. It's just him worrying about stuff that doesn't matter, and it shows why it's not just a tin ear, but it's a tin ear attached to a tin head.
And it also it gives us the somewhat priceless irony of a move that seems to have exclusively been an attempt to avoid a bad optic, resulting in a bad optic.
That is on brand. I'll give you that much, no doubt about it. We have, you know, so many negative headlines attached to our world these days. We actually began today's show with what I thought was a positive headline. We wanted to start with a good story. I want to circle back to a good story that the Utah Jazz players, who really were the first through the looking glass in terms of your professional patient, professional athlete patient zero anyways, as far as the public knowing of this bug being transferred to a professional athlete. It was Rudy Gobert, and then it was Donovan Mitchell just days later, and we came on the air saying, man, if these guys come out of this healthy as oxes, it'll be reassuring on some level. If one of them dies, oh my God, what shot would any of us have against this thing? If it's taken out professional athletes in the prime of their lives, the rest of us are in an awful lot of trouble. And look, my friends, we're in an awful lot of trouble. I think we can all agree on that. The degree, we do not know. The altering in our lifestyles has been significant, to say the least, to try to avoid this trouble. Well, the good news is today, the Utah Jazz are out of trouble. Not just the players, but everyone who got tested for COVID-19. And that is just news that I've been waiting to hear and waiting to share, and that's good news. Donovan Mitchell apparently never exhibited any symptoms, yet was a carrier. I guess Gobert did go under the weather, but never as severe. And this brings us to the bad news of the day. He never had symptoms as severe as Doris Burke is feeling. Doris Burke is a COVID-19 carrier, and she spoke about what she's feeling and what she's going through on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast. Here's Doris Burke.
I was so tired that if I tried to get out of bed from Saturday the 14th through Tuesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, I kid you not, I could not be out of bed for 5 minutes without needing to go back to bed and lay down. And it was that Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day, I was thinking, boy, I don't have any of the normal symptoms, but I thought to myself, it seems to me I should probably get tested. And my daughter is an attorney. Her fiance is an attorney. They had come to me on that Thursday. And my daughter's fiance's mom was a nurse for many years and was a nurse educator. And she was quite concerned, obviously, that perhaps I had, through all the travels, et cetera, possibly been exposed, and made the decision that Tuesday night, St. Patrick's Day, to go down to a local city hospital in Philadelphia and get tested. And that's exactly what I did.
What do they say? That can you keep your cool and your wits about you while everyone is losing theirs? Doris Burke, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this woman is an unbelievable broadcaster and an ambassador for the game of basketball. My God, she's an ambassador for a story of COVID-19. I mean, when she talks, you got to listen. The respect is universal. And, you know, Ray, Matt, I know it's something that it's a rare thing that the three of us all agree on, right? Doris Burke is peak NBA broadcast entertainment and information, and we wish her the very, very best and the fullest of recoveries.
Well, and the fascinating thing about what she said was that she was just tired from all this travel, which I believe ended up in Oklahoma City for the game with Utah. And I presume, knowing how she works, that she came in contact with either Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell or both, because, you know, you talk to players. So I'm not, you know, as you try to connect the dots in reverse, I get it. I mean, you know, she's susceptible because she does travel a lot. She has a ridiculous schedule. And so it made sense in hindsight that she would get it too, even though she's, you know, she's not in that, quote, danger group, and she doesn't have a history of respiratory issues, but she's close enough to carriers. And that's the thing I think that may be the lesson here, which is that you may not be part of the target group. All you have to do is be near somebody who's got it. And, you know, if connecting the dots backwards helps, maybe that's the value of this.
Yeah, and again, just not specifically Doris, but as we talk about this whole thing from Donovan Mitchell down to Doris, I think people seeing all the different experiences that folks are going through when they test positive is helpful. I think the more... Part of me hates that we live in a world where this is the scenario, but frankly, the more celebrities deal with more different versions of this, the more educated and aware the general populace will become.
That's another show right there. Boy, you're so right. It's so sad that that's so true, but you are right on. You know, we have replaced real turn to pillars of institutions and leaders. And yeah, now, like, we'll pay attention when the Kardashians will start talking about it. And it is a spectacular failure of where people get their information and what people take seriously and who people take seriously. There's a class to be taught in there. Vin Scully is a class all to his own. Vin Scully is 100% in as much of a vulnerable age group for COVID-19 as you can imagine. I have not heard from Vin Scully in a long, long, long time. We miss him behind the microphone. When I heard him today record a little message that the Dodgers pushed out, I tell you, made me a little misty. This sounds like summer. This sounds like memories. This sounds like ballpark. This is baseball on the radio. Just listen to Vin Scully.
Beer.
Not that. The rest.
No, he doesn't have to say another syllable.
I mean, that is the best part.
That is good. That is good. We'll get to the grocery list in a second. But here's Vin Scully today on the Dodgers Twitter account. And we wouldn't share anything from the Dodgers Twitter account if it weren't Vin Scully.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. Excuse me, that's form of habit. But wherever you may be, that means most of you are home, just as I am, waiting, hopefully, for opening day. I trust all is well. I hope you are far and away from any sickness, and I miss you. You know, when I retired, people asked me, what do you miss the most? And I told them, I miss the roar of the crowd, and I miss the people that I saw daily in the stadium. The workers, the ushers, the ladies cooking the hot dogs. I miss the ladies running the elevators up and down. Those were the people, the ladies who worked in the lunchroom. And, of course, in the press room, the writers. In other words, I didn't really miss the players because once I got involved with radio and TV, I didn't have a chance to hang out by the batting cage. Also, I stopped trying to hang out once the players started to call me Mister. Anyway, these are tough times. Certainly, I don't have to tell you that. But having lived as long as I have lived, I've seen this country, the greatest country on earth, get off its knees, literally and figuratively. When they were down and out during the Depression, and when they were on their knees after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And what happened then, they unleashed a tiger. The tiger was the whole country pulling together and getting not only back on its feet, but saving the whole world. So you and I, yeah, things are tough, but we'll be up off our knees soon, and we just want to remind you about that. And in the meantime, spend the precious time at home with your family. Pray a little bit more, like most of us will do. And above all, try to smile, because when you smile, that makes everybody else feel better. God bless.
You make me feel better, Vin Scully. God, that guy's
voice.
When
you talk, it makes everybody feel better, Vin Scully.
Really. And just the way he'll say a word like also, I mean, just the way he transitions from phrase to phrase and just ties it all together like just a master broadcaster to this day. Thank you, Vin Scully. Wonderful to hear from you. Doris Burke, good luck, full recovery. Vinny, stay young forever somehow, some way, please. We can never lose you. All right, guys, are you ready to get to the fun portion of today's show?
Absolutely.
Ray, you ready?
No. I haven't been ready for years.
Somehow I saw that coming.
I'm going to tell you right now, two of you guys got to raise your game. Come on. I'm ready. I got my beer
you want
ready
me to
go. Fun portion of the show coming up. Here we go.
I'm two glasses in. Didn't feel like I needed a sound effect.
No, I'm half in the open, unfortunately.
I'm half in the bag even as we speak. That's just weird because I never do this sober.
I do hear the clinky clinky of those ice cubes. Just popped a little beer there. Nice little 4-point KSA. Kolsch.
I love a 4-point
beer. Yeah, good beer, man. By the way, how do you pronounce the umlaut O?
No, I think Kolsch is right.
Okay.
Or, I mean, well, if you want to be like full German, you know, you can go Kolsch. But I think most of the time people just say Kolsch.
You know,
you're fine either way. Nobody's asking you for citizenship papers.
The when Motley Crue was figuring out what they wanted to name their band, they wrote out Motley Crue, and then for no reason at all, someone was drinking a Löwenbräu, and someone was like, "Put some umlauts over that thing." Would our show be cooler if we put umlauts over the O's in our name, since we all have Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky? We all got an O in there. Should we use umlauts from now on?
Maybe we should just call our show Umlaut.
Just, ooh, the umlaut cast. So, Andrew Cotter, no umlauts, but also an O in Cotter, is a play-by-play rugby English broadcaster guy, and I never heard of him until today, when yet another British broadcaster spun a backyard yarn about two labs having an eating contest. And you can tell as he's getting this ready to go that his wife has had enough, as she's like, get on with it already. This is really good. Great way to end today's show and the week. Here is Andrew Cotter doing play-by-play of his two dogs having a who-can-finish-their-bowl-of-kibble-faster contest.
Well, how fitting that it should come down to these two. Olive in her familiar black, five times the champion. Mabel, the rising star, winner last year. You can see how excited they are, but also feel the tension.
Get on with it.
And here it's in the crowd as we near the start of this final. And now they go, Olive away first, but a problem with Mabel's bowl. That might cost her now, having to play catch-up. Both settling quickly into rhythm. You can see the contrast in styles. Mabel, heavy tail use. Happy to be alive. Everything's amazing. Olive, more steady. Wasting little energy. Very much of the old Labrador school. Eating's a serious business. Don't bollocks around wagging your tail. And Mabel seems just a little sluggish here. Perhaps more was taken out of her by the worm medicine she was given last night than we thought. But Olive, focused, relentless, tasting absolutely nothing. Mabel trying, but surely a lost cause. Her title defence coming to an end. Olive taking everything. Nothing left but the bowl to lick now. And Mabel, well, doesn't seem too upset. A bit of class there from the youngster, generous in what will surely be defeat, because Olive has won now. She's taken the title back at 7.5. Mabel looking to offer congratulations again to the dog who was her inspiration growing up. Once more, wonderful to see that spirit in the game. What a final we've had here. Great rivals, but great friends. Oh, and you see the swapping of bowls at the end. Join us again tomorrow. Live coverage of a snooze on the sofa, possibly. Bye for now.
That is the best part, the swapping of the bowls at the end.
Is he Scottish? That sounded Scottish to me.
No, he is Scottish.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I think they use him in England, because I think he tagged the whole thing London, England. So like 1.4 million views that has had, and it's fantastic. I got to tell you, it's almost as good. You're talking about entertainment and just audio. It's almost as good as Vin Scully reading a shopping list.
We've got a dozen eggs, a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, a can of frozen orange juice, 6 small white onions, a green pepper, garlic powder, a package of American cheese, pickles, kosher that is, bananas, cornflakes, maple syrup, toothpaste, paper towels, toilet paper, 6 bars of soap, hot dogs, quarter pound of chopped meat, steak, lamb chops, package of spaghetti, 3 apples, bologna, cottage cheese, a pound of butter, 2 ears of corn, beer, ketchup, peanut butter, soy sauce, and a half a pound of coffee.
A half a pound of coffee.
Bologna.
What's chopped meat? Like, if I went up to the butcher
ground
and said,
beef.
Give me chopped meat, I'm getting ground beef?
Yes. You're getting ground beef.
All right.
And I not to be too pedantic here, but the thing that those two have in common is that they really do sing the language. And I think the Brits are better at this in general than Americans are. But Vin Scully was basically playing you music. I mean, if you listen to it again and not ignore the words and just listen the notes,
the cadence.
I think that more than anything else is why Vin Scully's Vin Scully. Because he sang you a baseball game.
You just nailed it, Ray, and that's why I picked out the Scottish, because the rolling of the R's that comes with the Scottish accent just adds sort of a musical beauty to what the guy was doing.
I think the two of you have added to this milieu of musical beauty we crank out on 95.7 The Game. So let me say, Ray, Matt, thanks both of you. A fun week looking at a really weird world. I'm glad I get to look at it with both of you guys. It was an awful lot of fun this week. Good job all around. Ray, have a great weekend. Matt, you do the exact same, okay?
Yes, sir.
Not a chance.
That's my guy. He's consistent, if nothing else, kids. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Nash. It was a really good week out of both of you guys. You're killing it, absolutely crushing it. Thanks to Mike Wilbon, Larry Boa, Spencer Hall for joining us, everyone who called in for No Stupid Questions. We're going to remind you one more time, got the butcher shop, chopped meat. Butcher Shop coming up next with Joe Shasky and Ryan Covey. Don't you move a muscle. Thanks so much for tuning in these crazy and weird times. We'll be back on Monday. Make sure you stay inside until then. Don't go out, not once. Just trust me. Do that. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Beer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.